KSL movie show dedicated to the kids at Primary Children's Hospital.
When I got to Primary Children's, I didn't feel like scared or anything because I knew that they'd take care of me.
For the price of just one movie ticket per month, you can become a smile maker. We'll tell you how to do it. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales on KSL News Radio.
It's Friday. It's Taylor Swift Day, apparently. As that is what will dominate just about anything you hear in popular culture yesterday, today.
What we determined last night was that she has more power than anyone that we've ever known of in the business. Just declared at a moment's notice that there was going to be screenings last night, and all the
everyone scrambled to make it happen.
Swifties freaked out. And so at 9:55, a bunch of people came storming in, and they stayed till 1 o'clock in the morning.
And one of those was our guest host last night.
That's right. Caitlin, oh, she's a delight. We had a blast.
And we will have her back on when we do our big movie review because of the three of us, she's the only one that's had the chance to see it.
Well, I was going to stay, but I thought, I still needed to watch The House of Usher and, you know.
Oh, that'll be fun when we talk about that because watching The House of Usher at 10 or 11 p.m. is a different experience than watching it at 4 p.m.
I got an episode and a half in, and I'm like, nope, it's 10 o'clock, 10:30, time to go to bed.
Well, today we are at My Hearing Centers, and we'll be talking with them here shortly. But let's get the movie show started officially with our movie show preview sponsored by Call Climate Services.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences. The Movie Show Special Feature.
And, of course, the big movie is Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour. Now, I overpronounce the E in eras because when I hear it all the time on the radio, it sounds like heiress, like A-R-R-I-S or something like that. And if you don't know that it's The Eras Tour, I just want to make sure people know what it's spelled.
Well, I couldn't figure out. And Caitlin was very good about explaining the different eras to me. She's only 33 years old. How many eras can you have at that age?
Well, if you start at 14, you can have a lot of eras.
It was amazing. I mean, I learned a lot last night.
At least it's not ERAs.
Yes, that's right. Earned run average. Baseball fans.
All right. So Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour is the big movie of the week. It is so big that it has driven other studios to just abandon October 13th. There were several theatrical releases planned as late as early August, and then when Taylor announced when her concert movie would hit, they all said, nope.
Yep, they all bailed. If you chase The Exorcist off of Friday the 13th, you've done something.
Now that's cultural power. That's actually as good an indication of any as the pop culture power, or honestly, cultural power. It goes beyond pop culture.
Yeah, I was talking to Blake last night, and he said, I don't think I've ever seen anyone control anything that much in this business than she has.
She sets the ticket prices, the show times, the days that it can play. In fact, that's one of the things we want to make sure that the listeners know who are, you know, okay, fine, I'm going to go for this. You're only going to be able to see it on certain days of the week. But we'll talk about all that when we do the big movie review. All right, other movies we have. In fact, we only have one other theatrical release today, right?
Yeah, the Joan Baez I Am Noise.
Counter-programming is another music-related movie.
Except that it's brilliant. I mean, she really goes... I mean, her family had some deep depression issues, and, oh, man, lately, we've seen a lot of these documentaries about people that have just filleted themselves open to everything that was happening in their life. And Joan Baez, not only are her songs amazing, but, you know, as a political activist and just a social commentator, she has a lot to say, and it's a brilliant film.
So if hers was the ERA's tour, that would mean a different thing than Taylor's eras.
Yeah, she literally has eras and eras of...
Oh, I meant the ER Equal Rights Amendment.
She's an activist.
Nice. Going levels here like an onion.
Slid that one right in there.
All right. Other movie that actually got a theatrical release in 4 theaters, but none of them were in Utah last week, coming to Prime today is The Burial.
Yeah, The Burial, yeah, with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Tommy Lee Jones. Jamie Foxx.
Got my Lees mixed up. Where's my whiteboard when I need it? Stone, come on.
And then we've got The Mill on Hulu.
Yeah, did you see that?
I did not. I was going to.
Yeah, this is kind of a mind messer. I mean, it's about a corporation. This guy ends up in a grist mill warehouse, and he has to work.
The Benson Grist Mill in Tooele?
No, well, I hope not, because they have to push this big rock around the thing and from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., and if you don't meet your quotas, enough turns around. And this is Lil Rel Howery.
Yes, and I've only seen him in comedies.
Yes, and this is
not a comedy.
Not a comedy.
Okay.
This is a corporation messing with people's minds, and it's interesting, especially if you like him.
Okay. So those are the movies, but we've also got several streaming series coming out, including Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV.
Love, love, love. Saw it all. It is brilliant.
Brie Larson.
The reason I did is because after you see the first two, that's the only ones that are showing this week, and then there could be Fridays after this until the day after Thanksgiving. People want to know, is it worth me investing that time?
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
And I say absolutely.
And I got through the first two episodes, so that'll be interesting to talk about. The Fall of the House of Usher, we mentioned it a moment ago. Netflix is doing an 8-episode series, hour-long, about – it's essentially kind of grown up – look, the way I say it is it's like if Succession was a horror movie, if you watch the show Succession on HBO. That's what we'll – but we'll get to more of that. And then we have a sports documentary, Messi Meets America.
Love, love, love.
And it we had a sports documentary last week about David Beckham. When it finished, he was the owner of Inter Miami Football Club.
Liked, liked, liked.
And then Messi Meets America is Lionel Messi, the most popular and best player in the world right now, playing for that Miami club.
But he's just a little dude. That's what blows my mind. He is so good and so charismatic and so kind. I'm a fan now.
And then finally, one that I was personally looking forward to, and that is Frasier, the reboot series of Frasier that debuted on Paramount Plus yesterday, 2 episodes. Kelsey Grammer back in the role that made him famous.
He looks like he hasn't aged a day.
Well, I think he looks like he's aged some, but not nearly as much as you'd think from 20 years later.
Well,
since
no,
the last
I just saw a movie
ended.
He was in like a year or so ago where he was in the Bermudas, you know, in the tropics, and he looked horrible. This movie, he looked like, hey, I'm back because I'm Frasier.
Because he's Frasier. He slips into that. Maybe he just has better makeup artists on Frasier.
Could be.
So that is the movie show preview. That plus Telephone Torture, the movie show Top 10. And
the movie classic this week, by the way, is North by Northwest.
At the
if
Make
you have
Plex
not
theaters.
Seen that on the big screen, come on.
That's a great movie even on the small screen. But yeah. On the big screen, seeing Mount Rushmore like that.
Yeah.
We'll have special guest Virginia Pierce, the commish, join us
for
a live interview. And all that and so much more here on The Movie Show today.
And now, the big movie review. Andy and Steve have everything your family needs to know about the biggest release of the week.
Okay, it's time for Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour.
This has been the most extraordinary experience of my entire life. We're about to go on a little adventure together, and that adventure is going to span 17 years of music. How does that sound? People would come up to me and they'd be like, you're gonna just like do a show with like all the albums in it? And I was like, yeah, it's gonna be called the Eras Tour. See you there.
See, she said Eras. Or maybe I'm hitting the E too much. Eras. It should be Eras.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, joining us now to help review the movie, Steve, since neither you nor I was able to see it, even though Taylor added an extra screening last night, an early screening for people, we already had a movie show scheduled during the time that
Which
we might have been
out,
able to sneak
It worked
off.
Out fine because it started at 6, and by the time they got through the trailers, we watched the first 10 minutes of it over in the IMAX screen there at Jordan Commons, and then we went over and did the show.
And did anybody who had finished the show make it out before the movie show ended?
No.
No.
It ended.
That's true. Probably with 15 minutes of previews, you guys probably would have ended about the same time.
Yeah, it's going to be a 3-hour block pretty much.
Well, joining us now is last night's guest host, Caitlin Johnson. Caitlin, welcome back to the movie show. What a night for you. Wow.
It was so much fun. I'm so glad I could step in, but I had the best time.
Okay, well, so tell us about To the Eras Tour. You saw the show
live. By the way, let me
yourself.
Just say, she was delightful. I mean, she was so much fun. She brought so much energy. And basically converted the entire room to Taylor Swift. I even got a friendship bracelet from her. And
he is wearing his friendship bracelet, by the way, today.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm glad. Andy, I'll bring you one.
Awesome. I'd love it. I could impress my daughter. It's her birthday today, by the way. Happy birthday, Megan. She's the big Swiftie in our family.
So I just wanted to thank you again for doing that last night. I appreciate it very much.
All right, yeah, Caitlin. So tell us about it. Give us your thoughts. I mean, obviously, you're not going to really just like downplay it, I'm guessing.
Oh, no, I'm not downplaying. I loved it. And it was a late night. I mean, I was up all day. Like, I wake up kind of early for my show that I produce. But the show was, it started around 10:30. I didn't leave until 1, a little after 1 a.m. And seeing it on the IMAX was just amazing. I think everybody needs to take the opportunity to see it that way. I literally felt like I was on the stage with her. And so it's just, it gives you this perspective and you see this attention to details that you just really don't see, like at the concert, unless you're front row maybe. But I could see her jewelry. I could see the specifics of the stage that I didn't notice. I could see dance moves from the dancers. And just, I was really able to understand the show the way she designed it, because you don't really get that when you're super high in the nosebleeds or you're just watching it on TikTok. Because keep in mind, as Steve knows, I watched the Eras Tour almost every weekend over the summer, so I'm very familiar with it. But there was so much detail that I just was able to become aware of, I guess. And there were, I loved the perspective shots that were included in it. There is that you could get perspective from the crowd and also from her perspective on the stage. That stadium is massive, which if you have gone to a show, you know that, but it was, they were able to showcase that as well. So I just don't know. I loved it. And I think seeing it in the theater is just, it's a whole experience on its own. And she does a great job, like just at the show, balancing out the energy from highs and lows. And I just think seeing it in the IMAX or any sort of theater setting, you're going to get that full concert experience. And it's almost even better. It's wow. Different, but it's better. Me and my roommate were having the best time watching. Jeff Whipple from the Megaplex joined us as well. And I asked him what he thought of it, and he was amazed. I don't know if he was just saying that, but I thought it was so good. And it really does showcase, I think, her career in a good way. She did cut some songs, but it was fine. It didn't bother me at all. So,
but you
the
noticed.
Reputation part of it was amazing. So, well, I noticed just because I know the set list, but it was, I still feel like it showcased it really well. So I just felt like I talked very fast about all that, but it's because I got excited.
So. No, that's okay. So I have some follow-up questions. First of all, you got to pay $20 for a ticket. There's no negotiating on the price. There's no discount day. Do you get your $20 worth?
Yeah.
Even as a fan.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. It was amazing. So well, I would I'm going to go see it again. So.
Blake mentioned that it was cheaper to watch it in the theater than to pay for the parking to get to the stadium.
That's a very good point.
And that's true. So it's a good point. And also, I don't know, it's just, it depends on who you are, but if you are just curious about it and you haven't even seen the show, yes, if you haven't gone to the concert, of course it's worth it. But for the people who have seen it, it's just a different experience of it. And it's so exciting, and the theater experience makes it so much better.
Now, give me a little bit about your experience in the movie theater. First question, did you cry?
I didn't cry. I got chills. Well, she has one song that's really sad. So me and my roommate kind of disassociated during it, because I got a little emotional. But she has some sad songs that kind of trigger some things. But I didn't necessarily cry. I got chills and I got super excited. I didn't end up standing up, but it's because I was probably a little tired. And the thing about, you can sing pretty much as loud as you want and no one can hear you because the sound system is so intense.
That's what I was going to ask next is, great. Did you sing along?
I did. The whole entire show. I'm sure the rest of the room did too, but you couldn't hear anybody else. So it was
That's actually
fun.
A good point.
So it doesn't matter if you sing. It doesn't matter if you're not a good singer, because Taylor's going to overpower you via the sound system.
Yeah. And it was amazing.
Well, especially on the IMAX.
It was a later show. I'm probably going to go again tonight. And so I'm curious to see kind of the different crowds that are there, because this was such a pop-up thing. And everybody that was in my row, at least, we just stayed seated, but I'm curious to see what happens tonight.
Now, I what I found interesting was yesterday when I was talking to you in the afternoon, and I was curious how many people felt the same way you did of, I had first tickets, and now I've got to buy other tickets because somebody else is going to get there before me. Was there a lot of that last night?
I didn't actually ask anybody about that. I don't think that we saw as big of a crowd as we'll see tonight. There were definitely a lot of people that went, and we had some people dressed up, some kids, and I thought that was super fun, but I didn't see a huge influx. And I'm kind of just wondering if the people in that boat kind of were just like, well, I'm just going to go to the Friday show and we'll just see what happens tonight. I'm not sure.
Well, and I know tonight they're doing the Megaplex, they're doing the big Taylor secret party thing where They were doing that last night, too?
No, that's she canceled those.
Oh, she canceled those. Okay, so that's good to know. All right, well, that's
and
good
by
to know.
She, we're talking about Taylor.
Taylor, right, because...
They have. They mentioned that there's just like parties in the lobby. Like beforehand,
right.
You can come hang out and meet your Swiftie friends.
Okay.
And they have some cool prop set up with the big logo and the backdrop, so you can have your picture taken with those. So it's a nice setup.
All right. So you highly recommend?
I highly recommend. I don't know. Even if you're not a Swiftie, just give her a chance. It is a longer movie, but for me, it was perfect. So just make sure you're aware of how long it is. The late show was
And it's much easier to get home afterwards than it is when you go to the actual concert, I'm guessing also.
Yes, that's very true.
All right. Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us for this review. And thanks again for being the guest host last night for our special movie show.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break here now on The Movie Show for news, traffic, and weather on KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show. It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all on KSL News Radio.
Oh, Steve, we've got our text question this week is a good one, I think. You know, since Taylor Swift is... you know, taking over the movie theaters for the weekend. That's all anybody wants. So we decided to ask you, what is the best movie starring your favorite music artist? Now, members of the Movie Show Club who've texted the word movie to 57500, just the word movie, that's how you join the Movie Show Club. They already knew about this text question even before the show started.
What?
Because of our awesome producer, Gustavo. And we've already got responses in. But we'd love to hear yours if you haven't sent in a text yet. 57500. Your favorite movie starring your favorite music artist. So here are a few of the things we've got so far. I'm really surprised. And the goofy face from this texture tells me maybe they're not being 100% serious. Caveman, starring Ringo Starr from the early 80s.
Nice. I like it.
All right. That is awesome.
That's like Clambake with Elvis Presley. Oh, my gosh. That movie is hideous, but it's
Elvis. It stars Elvis.
It's Elvis.
All right. So here's a few. James Brown, Blues Brothers.
Ooh.
Summer Holiday, starring Cliff Richard. Best singer ever, says this texter. I don't know who Cliff Richard is.
I don't either.
But he's the best singer ever, so maybe we need to find out about
him. What was the movie?
Summer Holiday.
No idea.
Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocket Man. I guess these are about favorite artists rather than starring them. Maybe Barbra Streisand in A Star Is Born.
I would say the whole trilogy. Is there a fourth one?
No, there's only the three that I know of. You've got Lady Gaga, Judy Garland, and Barbra Streisand.
Right.
Maybe there was one like back in the 30s.
No,
that was Judy. One in the 50s?
Well, maybe there was one before.
I feel
that.
Like there was one other Star Is Born now that you say that. Here's Elton John in the movie Tommy.
Oh.
Wasn't that The Who?
Yeah.
Elton John was in The Who movie?
Oh. Pinball Wizard, wasn't that his?
Pinball Wizard is The Who.
Okay.
But they had an album and a movie named Tommy. All right, here's Hairspray. I feel like that's cheating because that's a musical, but okay.
You're going to let that one slide.
And then somebody is a Depeche Mode in the movie Depeche Mode 101.
Sure.
I'm actually surprised we haven't seen a U2 Rattle and Hum on here yet. Britney Spears in Crossroads, which, by the way, got a release, an extra re-release for its 20th anniversary just a few weeks ago.
You see Hocus Pocus is back on the top 10 list this week?
Really?
Yeah, 30
That's
years.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, but so Crossroads, I never watched Crossroads the first time it came out. Do you know who was in it? Cliff Richards sings The Shadows and Band-Aid. Those are the names of his songs. Okay. That's our other producer, Stone. So he's given us some help, and unfortunately, our brains are not calibrated to that one. But no, Crossroads has Zoe Saldana in it with her. And now I can't remember who the other person was, but it's like, oh, she had some great actresses with her in that movie that we didn't know who they were back then, but now we've seen what they can do. So
I saw that movie. Brief.
Eminem, 8 Mile, another texter just said. That's a good one. Elton John was in the movie Tommy. He was the Pinball Wizard.
Oh.
The Who did all the rest.
Well, how about nobody's mentioned Bing Crosby, White Christmas?
Oh, that's going to come out eventually.
Going My Way.
Stone's personal is UHF with Weird Al. Can't argue with that. Love that movie. Love Weird Al. All right, Steve. Well, we'll take those texts throughout the show, 57500. But let's review another movie. How about, since we're talking music, Joan Baez, I Am Noise.
Yes.
I don't think anybody at a young age who gets famous has the slightest idea that it'll ever end. I've always said I wouldn't want to do a farewell tour because people who say that always come back. Maybe it'd be nice to celebrate 55 years of it.
What does fame mean to you?
What fame actually is, I don't really know because I don't consider myself famous. I think there's a difference in being well-known and being famous.
Do you think that artists and famous people are sincere when they say, I don't consider myself famous?
Well, I think she probably means it. I mean, I know she knows the notoriety. I mean, she's 79 years old, well, when they made this documentary. And she's still on tour. I mean, doing little, you know,
smaller
boutique,
venues.
You know, places and stuff. But, and it's harder for her to get that voice back that she had that was just so smooth back in the 70s when she was, you know, playing with Bob Dylan and all these amazing other artists. But the thing that I was really impressed about, she says, we have three lives. We have a public life, we have a private life, and we have a secret life.
Mm. Do we get to see some of her secret life in this movie?
Yes, we do. I mean, she talks about the depression that all of her sisters had. There were three girls, and they really struggled. One struggled extremely difficultly. So, I mean, there's a lot of... I learned a lot about her. You know, you see the early video of her, you know, protesting and whatnot, but she just has the social consciousness that she has to express, and it comes out in some of her music, and I just was really impressed with her in this, watching this film. I thought she did a really nice job articulating her family situation. When she fell in love with, she actually says at one point she's talking about Bob Dylan, she was madly in love with Bob Dylan, and he kind of like blew her off, said, well, we're just friends. And
or did he say, I'm making fun of Bob Dylan.
He does have that weird voice. But at one point in the film, she goes, you know, yeah, he broke my heart. Hi, Bob. I thought that was cute. But she lives in this, she never, you know, got married, doesn't have any kids. She has a dog and lives in this beautiful little place in somewhere in California, and just kind of lives her life. Oh, she does have a son. Does have a son.
You know, it's interesting when you think
she was married once.
Of how pop culture has evolved. You know, in the rock and roll era, and how back in, you know, the 60s and 70s, what you knew about an artist was whatever you heard on their record. Or whatever you read, snippets in a magazine here or there.
It's true.
And that's it. Or if they made a film about you, which I know there was once in a while, there were short documentary films about like the Beatles or the Beach Boys or things. But that was all you knew about them. So Right. The private and the secret life, the private life, probably what you'd read in a gossip paper, or, you know, something like a National Enquirer. And then the secret life was probably easier to keep secret back then than it probably is nowadays. And the different microscope that somebody like Taylor Swift lives under versus, you know, Joan Baez. And I've said the same thing, like, you know, between Michael Jordan and LeBron James, not trying to compare athletic, but just LeBron James grew up in an era where you were on camera basically his whole life. Whereas Jordan ushered in the era where you looked at the person all the time. But he also had half of his life where it was, oh, maybe we'll get a chance to see him, maybe we won't. And just how different things are today, and that it's interesting to just compare the two things and just how things were different. And
well, even to the degree that there was some suggestions that maybe the father had been inappropriate with the girls, but they had no memory of it, and they were trying to get it out through hypnosis. But then that whole false memory syndrome kind of came, and it's all talked about in this. She says, I think something happened, but I can't be sure, and my dad swears up and down that nothing happened. So, I mean, that was really hard to hear.
That would be hard to unpack on a daily basis, too,
yeah,
for
no
her.
Kidding, yeah.
So if somebody wants to see Joan Baez, I Am Noise, where do they go?
It's, by the way, I screwed up. It's I Am A Noise.
I Am A Noise.
Yeah. And it is playing at the Broadway. It's the only place I know of, unless somebody can let me know if they're playing it somewhere else. But for right now, it's only at the Broadway Center.
And is it rated?
I don't think it's unrated. But... you know, there might have been a little bit of language, but it's pretty tame.
Okay. I'm guessing that probably not teenagers are going to go see this, but people who've been fans of Joan Baez or people who are just fans of music in general.
Yeah, I mean, the talent was there. I mean, she had the amazing voice.
What would you give it?
I'd give it a B, B plus.
B plus for Joan Baez, I Am A Noise.
Not just any news.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Movie news.
Action!
On the KSL Movie Show.
It is time for movie news here on the Movie Show. And, of course, the big news, the SAG-AFTRA strike was not resolved this week.
Yeah.
They did meet, but negotiations broke down, I believe, either Wednesday night or yesterday to where, at this point, okay, we're going to take a few days and try again. Writers Guild strike, of course, resolved. Screen Actors, it's not critical time yet because all those writing projects still have to get finished getting written before they need the actors. But each week that we go, the closer we are to the chance that more stuff gets delayed.
Well, and the word I heard was that the gap is too great right now.
And it was over residuals is what I hear for streaming, is what the actors want, a specific cut of revenue based on amount of times people watch something on the streamer.
It's all new. Sense. It's a new world.
Right.
So you got to include it.
So that's enough about the strike.
Eddie Murphy and Tracy Ellis Ross have a new Christmas comedy coming out December 1st. It's called Candy Cane Lane. Murphy plays a man who's determined to win the neighborhood's annual decorating contest. So it's like the opposite of Christmas with the Cranks. But he makes a deal with a mischievous elf to better his chances. And somehow the elf introduces the 12 days of Christmas and creates a massive chaos in this town. And it's up to Eddie and his family to try to figure out how to stop this little elf.
Is it bad that I'm super excited for this movie?
No.
Because I love Tracy Ellis Ross. She was on Blackish, and yeah. I really liked that show. And she's Diana Ross's daughter, if you didn't know that.
I did.
But, yeah, and Eddie Murphy. And I'm not somebody who hates Eddie Murphy's family comedy work. Like, he's really funny in the edgy comedy, but he's also, I think he's really funny in the family comedy. And I'm just glad there was a comedian who did edgy who also felt like there's room to do family-friendly stuff, too. So I'm a big Eddie Murphy fan.
Yeah, me too.
All right, here's the thing. Spiderwick Chronicles, we had movies, but then there was going to be a series. And it was on Disney Plus for a season. I know a lot of kids who liked the books and then liked the series. But then it got canceled. But good news, Roku, the streaming box people,
yeah,
they have some original programming. They have picked up the series. So Spiderwick Chronicles will get another season. It'll just be on a different streaming service.
So one last note. This is, I was trying to figure out if anybody had estimated how much money the Eras Tour movie made last night, even though she only announced less than 24 hours earlier that they were going to be allowed to show it.
Right.
So no one
knew. 24 hours.
Yeah,
they had a chance to buy tickets for the preview screen.
If they knew that it was even available.
Okay.
That's the thing is, you had to get it out to the news media, and then word of mouth or whatever you call your friends. It still made $5 million last night. Basically, that's, by word of mouth and just...
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Now, I will say one thing about, with the numbers with her movie, it's $20 a ticket, no negotiating. I think kids can get in for like $17. So there's a little bit cheaper for the kids, but... When you compare it to any other concert movie, you have to keep in mind this is the most expensive concert movie in a theater that you could ever buy a ticket to. I mean, you know, Justin Bieber's Never Say Never was $99 million over its run. Taylor's made $100 million in pre-sales. But you can argue that's not the same number of butts in the seats, at least initially. Eventually, I'm sure it will be more butts in the seats.
Well, for example, Woodstock came out in 1970. It made $50 million. 1970, you... equate those dollars to today, that's a $400 million movie.
Yes.
And it also won Best Documentary at the Oscars that year. So, yeah, there's some serious concert stuff out there. I mean, Martin Scorsese did the Last Waltz with the band, and it was incredible. I mean, there's so many. It's funny that I was looking up the one concerts that I thought, and a lot of them are in the 70s, mid to early 70s were all
Ford
these
concert,
great concert
yeah.
Films.
Wow, and now we've entered a new era where you can get up on stage with them like you never could before in IMAX with Taylor Swift.
Well, that's the other thing, by the way. If you're worried about whether or not you'll be able to dance or sing or move around, they say as long as you don't, you know, are super disruptive to other people, you can wave your phone in the air like you just don't care.
Yep. They've turned off the no cell phone rules for this movie.
It's all just have fun. It's a party. This is not, you know, sit down movie thing. So if you're one of those that just wants to go and sit and watch it, either go late.
Okay.
When the kids are all in bed.
Or wait a couple weeks.
Yeah. Like next week when we have our show, when we're sponsoring the Friday night on the 20th.
Oh, KSL, that we'll be giving away tickets to, by the way, later in the movie show. So that is movie news. By the way, our big movie review, I forgot to mention this, is sponsored by our good friends at Paris RV.
Paris RV, the number one in camping trailers and travel trailers. They've been in business for over 25 years. They have 26 different brands, 700 units sitting there waiting for you. Your search should begin and end at Paris RV.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
A KSL movie show dedicated to the kids at Primary Children's Hospital.
When I got to Primary Children's, I didn't feel like scared or anything because I knew that they'd take care of me.
For the price of just one movie ticket per month, you can become a smile maker. We'll tell you how to do it. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales on KSL News Radio.
And we're going to be hearing from a family that was treated at Primary Children's Hospital. And we're going to tell you how you can get involved because you can help and make a difference in a child's life. Here on the movie show, as we begin another segment, we've got our text question out to everybody. What is your favorite movie starring your or the best movie starring your favorite movie artist? I guess we'll take, you know, we've got some leeway either way. We've had lots of messages. Glenn Miller and the Glenn Miller Story. That was one of my parents' favorites, so I'm not surprised that this texture list is that one. Let's see. Madonna in Evita.
Oh, yeah, Evita. I was thinking of that other movie she did.
Apparently, Tina Turner was also in Tommy. People have got a lot of information about the movie Tommy from The Who. Helen Redding in Pete's Dragon.
Aw.
So these are some good suggestions. Jennifer Hudson in Dreamgirls, but not Beyonce.
I was thinking of Aretha Franklin in the Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great
scene. That's true. That is true. All right, so these are all awesome suggestions. You can send us your thoughts at 57500 on this. But we are excited now to have back our monthly visit from the commish herself, Virginia Pierce. Welcome, Virginia.
Hello.
It's so nice to have you back. Right before we went on air, you were showing us a really awesome video clip that we will be so excited to share with our movie show listeners next month. And there's
celebrating 100 years of filmmaking.
Celebrating 100 years.
That's
pretty
amazing.
Awesome.
I set my DVR for Fort Utah today.
Oh.
It's an old Western.
Fort Utah.
I don't know if it actually was filmed in Utah.
I don't think it was.
But it's called Fort Utah, so I'm going to record it just in case.
Okay.
Just to see.
I, through this process, now almost am confident I know every single film that was shot in Utah.
Really?
You know, I've looked for Buffalo Bill, and I can't find it anywhere.
There's some that are hard to find. You can't, for sure, on streaming, you can't find them. You have to get the DVD on a lot of them.
Well, usually we'd ask, okay, so what's the latest on the movie projects? But as negotiations broke down with between the AMPTP and the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, as we found out yesterday, there's no deal, and they're not even going to start talking again till next week. I'm sure your hopes were so high earlier this week.
I mean, I'm so jaded now. I was like, meh, let's see. I'll wait.
When it happens, it happens.
Yeah, it has been very, very frustrating summer and fall. And, yeah, we'll just continue to hope that the cooler heads will prevail and they will sit down again and chat.
Now, I would assume that a common question you're getting is, well, what now that the half of the strike is resolved, that's good for Utah, right?
Yeah, that unfortunately didn't help us much because, you know, a lot of the writers are really responsible for the ongoing talk shows and those kind of things that we don't do a lot of. The writers, I mean, obviously it's great that they reached a conclusion and can start back up again, and that will help our productions for next year, things that are in the writer's room right now, but it doesn't solve our immediate problem of just getting back to work because we need those actors.
Because we need the actors here. So, okay. So how many projects are currently on hold? Do you know that off the top of your head?
I think there's 5 or 6 that were supposed to go, big ones that were supposed to go, you know, anytime between August and September, get started in August or September. So we're just on hold for all of that.
Now, the Costner question.
We're going to ask you about Costner every month, no matter what.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a big deal, but in that I didn't know he had finished. So I thought he was shooting for 4 movies. Looks like now he's down to 2.
He's finished 2.
Okay.
He is aiming for 4.
Oh, he still wants to do 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he shot 1 in and around Grand County and San Juan County, and shot 2 in and around Washington County. And those are the 2 that they, you know, are going to release.
You
know,
well, I was going to say, I heard about a release date this week. Do you have that? I do if you don't. I just wanted to see.
I think it's June 24th.
June 28th.
June 28th.
So that's chapter one.
And that's in the movie theater. So yeah. He felt very strongly he wanted these to premiere on the big screen. Warner Brothers is releasing them, one in June, one in August.
So we're going to get two chapters of Horizon in over just about 3 months' time.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Have you seen anything of it?
I haven't. There's a couple of people on my team who've seen a 30-minute clip, but I wasn't able to make it. But I hear it is epic and shows off Utah.
Well, I wouldn't want to see. I was going to say, I wouldn't want to see Utah's scenery on the small screen first.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Like we did in Mission Impossible 2. We want to see Tom Cruise hanging off a cliff that stretches the whole length of the wall.
That crazy man
does his own stunts.
Any Cruise stuff coming back to Utah?
He hasn't been here since Mission Impossible 2. His stuff is very big, as we know. So if anything, we might get a piece of it.
But well, I'll take it.
I know.
Maybe we could redo the Thelma and Louise and make it to the other side.
He would, right?
Yeah, he'd probably
and he'd be
out a
in
way.
The car. That wouldn't be stunts or dummies or CG. He's like, I think I can make it across.
Go through 10 T-Birds.
He's like, I'll do what Evel Knievel couldn't do.
Yeah.
Only he'd do it on a motorcycle instead of a rocket ship.
He's crazy.
So, Christmas movies. Are we going to see any that were completed before the strike?
I think there's one premiering in just at the end of October because, you know, Christmas season.
Starts on the 31st of October, right?
I'm guessing it's not When Evil Lurks. That's probably not
I don't think it was that one.
Fun Night at Freddy's.
Five Nights.
For Christmas 2 is premiering on this Saturday night, October 14th.
What?
On
tomorrow
night? Great American Family Network.
It's called what?
Destined for Christmas 2.
Destined for Christmas 2.
And then
because it wasn't enough to be
there's another one, Best Christmas Ever, that will release on Netflix, and that one was shot in downtown Payson, which we love.
Cool.
Heather Graham is in that one.
I love Heather.
Yeah, there's some good people. So yeah, we've definitely got a couple holiday movies coming out.
And it is that time. And I have friends who, it doesn't matter what time of year it is, they'll watch holiday movies.
That's what they call Christmas in July.
Yeah, I do try to keep my Christmas movies in a certain stretch. But, you know, I have a friend who, the guy cuts my hair, he records every single Christmas premiere every year. He gets all the new ones, and he will watch them all even if it takes him until May.
Yikes.
That is dedication.
Yeah.
But I do really love, I remember watching one, I think it was the one that came out on the Food Network. It was like their first original one that was filmed in Bountiful downtown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I actually really enjoyed
with
that
one. Reed Drummond,
right? Yes. Well, yeah. Drummond. Yes, because she's on the Food Network, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and she owned, like, the Christmas cookie shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually thought, look, yeah, I'm also okay with the schlocky stuff. I'm going to be honest. I don't mind it.
My favorite was there was one about a vineyard in California, and literally they had two rows of grapes that might be 50 feet long, and that was their prop for their vineyard.
Their entire vineyard.
Yeah, like, wow.
They're very creative with their scenes.
Yeah. Now, to me, my favorite Utah playing somewhere else scene of any time is 1983's American Ninja 2, in which downtown Salt Lake City stood in for Southern California.
Really?
Complete with, even when I was like 14 years old, I laughed out loud when I saw this. It's set in L.A. There's a big, huge ninja fight scene at the old Liberty Park playground. I don't know if you remember this.
Mm-hmm.
It was the greatest playground apparatus ever. Completely probably dangerous to kids, which is why it's no longer there. But it was amazing. And they have this fight. And then the end of the fight scene, I mean, it's Salt Lake police cars straight with everything except a white sticker over the Salt Lake part. So it's just like police. And then the final shot, there's a fight at the end on this big tall tower in downtown Salt Lake City. And the ninjas, you know, the good ninja wins or whatever. And then there's this circling shot from like a helicopter of downtown LA with the Salt Lake Temple and the Salt Palace right next to the.
Just hoping people don't notice.
I was laughing so hard at that. And that was even back in the 80s when I saw it. But yeah, so that's my favorite Utah shot ever in a movie. In fact, I own the movie just for that.
Not going to notice.
As long as we get credit.
Yeah, right?
Oh, well. We look forward to it, and again, we tease, this is the sizzle reel, as I think what you'd call it.
Yep.
A sizzle reel for making movies in Utah.
Well, it's really a sizzle reel for looking back at the 100 years of film and television in Utah. So, as I think I've mentioned, we're going to be celebrating all year long, starting in January.
So where can we see this, then, eventually?
It can't be viewed quite yet. But we will do a special teaser for the movie show fans next month.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're looking forward to that visit. And you might hear a familiar voice,
perhaps.
You might
hear a familiar voice. Yeah.
Okay. He's still everywhere.
Well, Virginia Commissioner, we're so grateful that you come and join us every month. And let's hope we got the SAG strike resolved by the time you're here next time so we can have plenty of fun and plenty of good beyond just our sizzle reel on 100 years of filmmaking in Utah.
Let's do it.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
All right, it's time for the big streaming review sponsored by the Joshua Stern Team. Visit sternteam.com to learn your home's real value in 30 seconds. Click sell, then home evaluation at the Joshua Stern Team. All right, Steve, you're excited about this one. Lessons in Chemistry, starring Brie Larson on Apple TV+. We don't have sound.
Oh. Yeah, you know, we've seen Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, and she was great. But it's kind of a one-note role for her, whereas this movie, or this series on Apple TV+, is really remarkable. I mean, she's a very stoic person to begin with. She's a chemist. Not taken seriously in a 1950s, 1960s lab, although she's outshone all the men in this, you know, lab. They still don't give her credit for anything. And she teams up with this other guy who's like super.
Who's the superstar of the lab.
He is the rock star of the lab. And he can ask for anything. He realizes that she's got some knowledge and some research that could, you know, go well with his. And they're both like super nerds. So you're thinking, oh, man, this is not going to work. But then they start to, you know, work together.
They start to have some, dare I say, chemistry?
Ooh, dare you say. Which is funny because neither one of them, they're very social loners. And, of course, you'd think
that. But you can only resist the gorgeousness that is Brie Larson for so long. Let's be honest.
Well, as you're going to see in the next few episodes, her reveal becomes even more amazing as she... I can't even begin to tell you because there's so much going on, but it's so well done. And it talks about social issues of the day, plus the stigma that, you know, women can't do anything. They should be home cooking. And there's all that nonsense.
Well, what it is, I mean, this isn't a spoiler since any trailer and the whole thing is, and in fact, the series opens, eventually she becomes an on-TV chef.
Yeah,
lady.
Kind of a
for
fluke.
A TV show. Yeah.
You're thinking, well, how do you go from being a renowned chemist to a... But that whole transition is actually really pretty cool.
So, Brie Larson, Lessons in Chemistry. It is rated TVMA. It's 8 episodes, 2 available right now.
Yes.
And then it'll be weekly drops until mid-November, I think.
Till Friday Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and I saw the first 2 episodes, and I was drawn in. I enjoyed it. I really felt like Brie looked, especially several times, she looked like... pre-Danny Zuko.
Sandra D.
At least, but she doesn't fit the social molds either. I mean, she's really focused on work and all the other... she's always mistaken as a secretary, even though she's a lab tech. And the only reason she's not one of the things is there's a whole thing about she was a PhD candidate and all that stuff. It is a very interesting story, and I didn't get... I had to cram a lot into a short time, so I only got through the 2 episodes, but I am looking forward to watching the rest of it.
Well, the crudeness comes from Rainn Wilson, who is the station owner.
I haven't
even
seen him on there yet.
Yeah, I know. He kind of pops in.
Oh, okay.
He is a complete jerk, and he's very mean to her and says a lot of terrible things to her. But she has her own ways of dealing with him, so that's fun. The guy from, what's that show, the Big Bang Theory?
Jim Parsons?
Stewart, that owns
owns the comic book shop.
He's her producer in this show.
That's right.
He's really good. So there's a lot going to happen. And even the dog has an episode, which is...
And his name's 630, and we'll let you watch the show to find out why.
Yeah, there's just so much, and you're going to...
So
I'm just telling
high
you,
recommendations for
invest
lessons
Invest your time in this, and you'll be rewarded.
All right. Now, right before we end this hour, let's talk really quickly about Messi Meets America, also on Apple TV+.
Okay, so this is... Inter Miami, co-owned by David Beckham. They finally get Messi to come over and play for them, and it's all about their practices and how they hadn't won a game. And like, I mean,
they lost 11 straight before Messi showed up.
Almost making stuff up. It just felt like a Hollywood script. But when he shows up and they bring a couple other guys, they start to play well and they come together. But I learned that Messi is probably one of the nicest people on the planet, who is the most famous person on the planet as far as football goes, soccer. And yet he's just humble and sweet and kind. And kind
now,
of the
now, it is worth pointing out, in all fairness, Messi is an executive producer on this documentary, so I don't think they're going to show him in an especially negative light.
Well, perhaps, but I just didn't see any. I mean, he's just walking around normal, talking to people, so
yeah.
How do you sugarcoat that?
But the idea that a U.S. soccer team could bring in the biggest star in the world, coming off of a World Cup championship where he was the MVP, where it was literally the last thing he needed to be considered one of the greatest football players ever, soccer players ever, and then he chooses voluntarily to go play for a team in Miami that hadn't won in forever, and the way he can like bring other talent in. It really is. I enjoyed it. I felt like
now,
it's a great
all,
sequel to
are
David
they all
Beckham.
Together? And there's more coming, right?
I think so, because their season's not over, so this is an ongoing thing.
Although he's hurt right now, so he probably hasn't
so
been
So it's going to be very boring for the next chapter. That's Messi Meets America on Apple TV+.
I really loved that. I thought that was really good.
All right. Let's take a break here, bottom of the hour, for news, traffic, and weather on KSL News Radio.
It's the KSL Giveathon. Be a smile maker for the kids at Primary Children's Hospital.
Steve, I love the playful music, because as we talk about Primary Children's Hospital, the feeling you get when you walk into it is not one of somber, this is awesome. Now, don't get me wrong, the emergency room, certainly, there is no such thing as not. But the rest of the hospital, the patient floors, all the different things, it's a place where you can tell that they take serious their promise, the child first and always.
Well, my experience, years and years ago, my brother had his son was in there, and things didn't go as well as we had hoped. Yet, the love and concern that they, I mean, even that was back in 1980. That's how, and I remember that to this day, how caring they were about everything that was going on, that they couldn't fix the problem, but they were there for every step of the way.
And one of the great things about Primary Children's is the chance that we have as a community to participate and help them put the child first and always and participate in our KSL Giveathon. And what we want is we want to get 10 new movie show smile makers before the end of the movie show today. And a smile maker is somebody who, you know, sometimes you feel like, I'd love to give more. I've only got $15, and that's all I can give. That's awesome. But what if you could give a $200 donation that you split up over the course of the year? And that's what a smile maker is. You can donate at least, and of course you can go more than $15.
Sure.
But a smile maker is somebody who makes a recurring donation of $15 a month. And if you do that by noon, that would be so awesome. That would show just how awesome the movie show listeners are. How do you do this? Well, you go to kslkids.com, or you can text the word smile to 57500. So let's hear right now of one of the families who has been positively affected by Primary Children's Hospital. In fifth grade, let me tell you about Liz. Fifth grade, she moved and had to start over making friends, which was giving her panic attacks.
My name is Kyla. I am mother to three. Liz is my middle child, 17. She is the most kind-hearted child. She has a wicked sense of humor, quick-witted, and talented. The way she can express herself through art is pretty incredible.
When I was seven, so second grade, we moved from Nevada to Utah. That was a very hard thing for me, but things did not really pick up until fifth grade when we moved to this house, and I lost all of my elementary school friends.
The chaos of junior high just made everything come forward for her.
And at that point, I was first kind of coming into school avoidance and anxiety. I don't want to do this. I'm tired of being different than all the other kids.
She was missing school constantly. She struggled every day to go. She would have a full-blown panic attack, running through the house, hitting herself in the head. I can't do this. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. After we'd had about the third one of those panic attacks, I knew we had to get some help.
With Primary Children's Behavioral Health, we really believe in the importance of getting kids to the right treatment at the right time in the right place.
I contacted the behavioral health unit. The initial contact up there was with Dr. Kaplan, and she was just so welcoming.
She talked to me like an adult, which I really liked.
A lot of the therapy is teaching parents how to cope, because we need it, and having those tools was huge.
It has led me up to a point where I'm very happy, and I'm really, really proud of myself. I feel very fulfilled.
She's doing great. She's on track to graduate. She's talking about a future. She's talking about things she wants to do when she's grown. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I would just tell anybody that is struggling, if you have the ability to get up there, do it, because they are caring, they're kind, they're not going to judge you for where you've been.
It was an absolute lifeline for us. I mean, they saved my kid, and that's something I could never repay. It's gonna be a
Something I can never repay. And you know what? That's not what Primary Children's is looking for. But we have a chance to pay it forward. You were just talking about, it was your nephew.
Yes.
My younger brother spent time at Primary Children's. I have 6 years. In fact, when I went to tour the hospital,
the odds
I told
are pretty
you that.
Good. You had
they
somebody.
Said, have you ever been to Primary? I said, I have six kids. I said, okay, we got you. We know. But this was something I actually just learned. I didn't know this. I always assumed, you know, Primary Children's, you go when someone has like a catastrophe, they have cancer or something, you know, that's physical that suddenly shows up as wrong. What I did not know until this year is that they have help for the kids who struggle with mental health too.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this. Liz had panic attacks, but with help of therapy through Primary Children's, she's regained her happiness.
Honestly, I was waiting for the physical part that was
right.
tied to the panic attacks. And they weren't there. They really just dealt with the mental health.
And therapy through primary. So that it makes you love the hospital even more. And wow, I wouldn't have thought of that. If one of my kids had panic attacks, I don't think I would have immediately thought Primary Children's.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know that that's an option. So we want you to help out. Please become a smile maker. If you're at a place where you're near a computer, go to kslkids.com. And donate to the KSL Giveathon. Or if you're not near the computer now or you want to do it from your phone, and it's just here's a way easier way to do it for people on their phones. Text the word SMILE to 57500. They'll send you back a link. All you got to do is tap on it, and you can make a donation today. We want to make 10 movie show smile makers. That's somebody who donates $15 a month or more. And Steve, you're a smile maker, right?
I am. Been for years.
Do you smile when you see your bill?
Well, that's exactly what. I look at it. What is this for? Oh, yeah. And it feels like I'm actually contributing to the world in a positive way instead of what I normally do.
Instead of being on the movie show. No. But thank you, Steve, for doing that. And we'd love for you to be a smile maker as well. Text the word SMILE to 57500 or donate now by visiting kslkids.com. All right, Steve. For this segment, we've got a couple more streaming reviews to hurry okay. and get through. All First right. up, why don't we do The Mill really quick? I didn't get to see that one. You did. It's on Hulu.
Yeah, this is a simple movie about a guy who wakes up in a dirt floor warehouse room. And there's in the middle of the floor is a grist mill, which is one of those big rolling rocks, and he's supposed to push it around. And he's like, "What? Are you kidding me?" And they come on a little loudspeaker and say, "You're on the clock from 6 a.m. till 10 p.m., and you have to do 40 rounds. That's your quota. If you do more than that, the problem is there are other people in other rooms." And
does he know this?
He does.
Okay. Oh,
he can hear them all yelling back and forth. And if you're the worst one, you're exterminated.
Oh, so yeah. There's some motivation.
Oh, yeah. And you can hear him screaming, like, you know, and like, oh. So he's pushing that thing pretty good. But, you know, he's there. And how did he get there? And what's going on here? And why is the Mallard Corporation doing this to their valued employees?
And this is Lil Rel Howery, the guy who's in all the comedies.
Yeah, he's not having fun.
Not so funny this time.
Nope, not at all. I mean, he's yelling a lot, and he's, you know, cussing at people. But most of it is just him. I mean, the torture that's going on here. It was a hard
is
movie to
watch. Is it Saw-level torture?
No, not at
okay.
all.
Okay. No. Because it's on Hulu. I was hoping it doesn't maybe go to that length.
No,
but
it's just,
not like.
It's more mental anguish and okay. like, oh, you know what, if you don't really want to push the stone, we know where your wife lives kind of thing. Yeah, and your kid, oh, by the way, you have a baby boy coming. Yeah, we'll take care of him, too. I'm like, man, you guys are, like, heavy-handed here. What's going on here? That's the whole thing. When you get to the big reveal, you're like, huh, well, that's a company I want to work for.
Was it worth watching?
Yeah, it was interesting, but I thought the rug kind of got pulled out from under it at the end.
What would you give it?
I'd give it a B-.
B-, that is The Mill on Hulu. And then we've got a really quick second here. The Fall of the House of Usher. Now, this is one based on the Edgar Allan Poe short story, Fall of the House of Usher. But
right.
There's references to all of Poe's works. I originally thought that The Raven was from The Fall of House of Usher, but it's not. That was its own thing. But, yes, there is a raven in this series.
Right.
One of the episodes. They say the word nevermore a whole bunch of things. So there's all these different references, but it is based on The Fall of the House of Usher, but it's set in modern times.
Right. And it's set on a family that's a pharma family that's making these opioids that's killing all these people.
Yes. So, and it's like I really could compare it to Succession. If any of you watch Succession, it's like Succession. It's the rich family. The guy's got to figure out which of the heirs are going to get what, and only – because it's called The Fall of the House of Usher. It doesn't go well for the heirs. I'll just say that.
Yeah, they're dispatched rather well in the first act, basically.
But you got Bruce Greenwood, Mary McDonnell, Carla Gugino.
I didn't even recognize Mary McDonnell, but I heard the voice. I thought, that couldn't
be. That's President Roslin from Battlestar Galactica. That's what you were thinking.
Or, no, I was thinking Dances with a Fist or whatever her name was.
In Dances with Wolves?
Yeah.
Oh, I actually haven't seen that one. So that is The Fall of the House of Usher. I admit it is not for everybody. It's TVMA completely. Lots of gore and all
I'm
kinds
not deep
of
enough
debauchery.
Into it, but I'll tell you what, so far I'm not, although I love
Carla. But you watched in the middle of the night.
Yes.
So, and I will say this, watching it in the afternoon is a different thing. So that is The Fall of the House of Usher. It's
What's
on
wrong,
Netflix.
Dude? You
I don't even know what that just said.
What's wrong, dude? You yellow.
Oh, see, now Steve's the yellow one this time because he hasn't watched as much of it as me. Woo!
Oh, really? We're going to compare
horror
films?
No, we're not. I shouldn't have said that. I take it all back. All right. Air on the Movie Show. We are live at My Hearing Centers, and we're joined by Matt Deering. Matt, movie show listeners, we've been asking for our callers to call 801-701-1629, and here's why. If you've got any issues in your life, whether it's you or a loved one that are having any hearing issues at all, or you think you might be having hearing issues, or you're at a certain age and you've never felt like you have any hearing issues. Is he muted?
Am I? No, I'm there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can hear you now. Then you should call 801-701.
Turn up your hearing aid.
1629. 801-701-1629. You call in during the movie show, and you are one of the first 50 callers. You can get a free hearing evaluation for yourself or your loved one. So maybe your loved one doesn't want to call, but you can call for them and make that appointment. And then you can be entered into a drawing to win a set of these amazing, brand-new, state-of-the-art technology Charge & Go iX hearing aids and lifetime service.
That's absolutely right. And if you trial the hearing aids for risk-free for 30 days, we'll also give you the movie tickets.
So you can
But for you, Andy, if you trial the hearing aids for 30 days, I'll get you a copy of Dances with Wolves.
No kidding.
Because what the heck, man?
It was long.
Even McDonald's gave them away, didn't they? Copies of Dances with Wolves back in the day.
That's probably true.
It's a long movie.
Aw. No. It's a great.
But that's why I didn't see it. But I you know, here's the thing. I watched so many
movies.
Did you
see Waterworld?
I did.
Then how did you see Waterworld and not Dances with Wolves?
I don't know.
But both long movies. And yeah. I think Dances with Wolves is probably a better one.
It probably is.
Oh.
But
leaps.
I don't know for sure that it is. Right now, Waterworld's a better movie.
Yeah, you don't know. So I'll get you. I actually might have a copy next time you show up of Dances with Wolves.
Everyone.
And I'll just have it playing.
I even have the soundtrack from Dances with Wolves.
Oh, I have listened to the soundtrack a lot, actually. I like the soundtrack, so I just have to see them.
So if you're having problems hearing or problems with not being able to see Dances with Wolves after
making
30
decisions.
Years, decision making, we'll help you out.
Oh, dear goodness me.
10, 9, the KSL Movie Show, Top 10.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, it's the Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services. Steve, number 10, am I seeing things here, or am I seeing a movie that came out in 1993 in the top 10 right now?
Celebrating 30 years of mediocrity.
Hocus Pocus. He just invited a storm. Hocus Pocus, the 1993 original. I guess it got a re-release because I don't know how else it could be in the top 10.
Well, it was re-released in just a couple years ago, too. Like, what are they doing?
So its gross is now $46 million over its history.
Yeah, well, now 48.
$48 million over worldwide. 30 years. So that's almost $1 million a year. All right, number 9, a little bit more contemporary, The Equalizer 3, Denzel.
Yes, doing well. $168 million worldwide, hanging in there.
6 weeks on the list. Number 8, Dumb Money. It never really peaked because we're guessing because of its release schedule.
That's exactly the problem. It came out so lukewarm in 8 theaters, then people thought it must not be any good. So they didn't go, and then now that it's out in 2,800 theaters,
nobody's
still
going.
Not going.
Yeah, I bet a lot of people will catch this one on streaming and will probably enjoy it. Number seven, The Nun 2.
Yeah, she's none too happy.
None too happy to not be in the top five anymore.
Well, she's $250 million, so she's pretty happy.
All right, number six, A Haunting in Venice, still hanging around. I'm glad it's made it into October.
Yeah, this is a pleasant Halloween movie. Why not?
All right, it's a Poirot with Kenneth Branagh. Number five, The Blind.
This is the beginning of the Robertson family from Duck Dynasty.
Oh, that's right, that's right. The one that neither one of us have seen. Number four, The Creator.
I love this movie, and I wish people would go see it.
$6.2 million, but it still is. It only puts it up to 27 domestic. Well,
but 37 foreign, it's a 64. But
That's not enough.
Yeah, no, we need more.
Number three, Saw 10, Saw X.
Kind of back to the origins, a little more creative and a little less. Well, it's still pretty violent.
Number two, Paw Patrol, hanging in the top two.
$90 million bucks, and a pretty balance between domestic and foreign, about, you know, 48, 42.
And number one, no surprise, The Exorcist Believer.
Yeah, this one has made $52 million worldwide. It is, you know, doing okay.
Number one. Yeah, it's not going to be number one next week, though. We already have a number one just based on pre-sales, right?
That's true. Maybe the whole top 10 will be Little Miss Sunshine.
And that is the Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services. When we get back after top of the hour, we will have our other big movie review of the week, which is really almost the only other movie of the week that's out on Amazon Prime.
A KSL Movie Show dedicated to the kids at Primary Children's Hospital.
When I got to Primary Children's, I didn't feel like scared or anything because I knew that they'd take care of me.
For the price of just one movie ticket per month, you can become a smile maker. We'll tell you how to do it. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales on KSL News Radio.
We are still looking for a total of 10 smile makers from the movie show. Somebody who will donate a monthly donation to Primary Children. It can be as little as $15 and make you and a kid smile all year round. Steve, It's time to review another movie, our sort of other big movie of the week. It's almost our only other movie of the week, and it is called The Burial.
Mr. Gary hasn't lost a case in over 12 years.
You suggesting I hire this guy as one of my lawyers?
Y'all come on in.
Pleasure to meet you, Mr. Gary. Let me introduce you to my comrade.
How do you feel about working with black folk?
I suppose I am a little prejudiced.
Hmm? Did you meet my dean?
I'm Chris. Deshaun.
Chris Douglas. Gentlemen.
Gentlemen. All right, this movie's set in the mid-1990s. It's based on true events, actually, which I did not know till the closing credits. It tells the story of a funeral homeowner in Mississippi named Jeremiah O'Keefe, who you heard in the clip was played by Tommy Lee Jones. Jeremiah's fallen on some hard times financially, and so he decides he's going to sell off some of his funeral homes to a billionaire investor from Canada, who turns out to be a big jerk, who decides to delay the contract execution, hoping that Jeremiah will go bankrupt. So Jeremiah sues the investor, takes his little white lawyer Alan Ruck down to Florida, and they hire actually he doesn't take Ruck to Florida, but they hire this flashy attorney named Willie Gary, played by Jamie Foxx, hoping that Gary's charm and skin color will help with the nearly all black jury in Mississippi that they've got in this lawsuit.
Oh my gosh, this is a funny movie.
It's not a comedy,
no.
Which is what I thought going in. That's why I was surprised that it turned out to be a true story, but it is funny.
Well, mainly because Willie Gary was such a – and it's Jamie Foxx. I mean,
yes.
Come on. His whole persona is just way over the top. It's kind of like Johnny Cochran on steroids, and he's actually –
or Johnny something Cochran, as they say in the movie.
Oh yeah, that's right. there's some sass to this, but also I kind of like the chemistry between Tommy Lee Jones and Jamie Foxx really surprised me.
He was – Tommy Lee Jones is so, like – he's just chill.
Yeah.
Like, he's concerned about his legacy. This is the whole reason he's doing the lawsuit. You know, they have offers to settle some big numbers, but he's not interested in settling, especially after he feels like the handshake agreement he had face-to-face with somebody was dishonored. And then now it's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. You've disrespected
me. How much do I have to get in order to put you out of business? And the guy's like, ha-ha, you couldn't put me out of business. Well, we'll see about that, man. But but it's more than just Jamie Foxx mugging and being Jamie Foxx.
No, there's he's a genuinely cool, nice man.
I kept waiting for him to mug and only be Jamie Foxx, and then I was like, wait, am I liking the Jamie Foxx, all the rest of him, too? Because I knew I was going to like the funny part, but I just, it was enjoyable. He's a grounded character.
Family man.
It seems like it's going into the parody a little bit at the very beginning, but it doesn't.
No.
Yeah. I thought it was really solid.
Except for, I thought it got a little melodramatic in a couple of, as the movie drug on. It is a bit long.
That is true.
And so there are a couple
2 hours and 15 minutes,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. There was a section in there where, you know, they visit an old slave graveyard. And, you know, it's touching, no question.
But, because they're in South Mississippi.
Yeah, but they really milked it. And I thought, you know, you could probably have done that a little more subtly without just heavy-handing it so much.
Well, and I actually thought that was a pretty poignant part of the thing that I had never, I'll be honest, I had never sat down and considered that. The only reason I would disagree with you on that scene is that it gives you time to, like, really think about what they're saying. And, you know, maybe absorb it in a way, you can know something intellectually but not have ever really sat and thought about it for more than a couple of seconds, because it really, you know, doesn't necessarily apply to me. You know, I didn't have slave owner ancestors, and, you know, I'm not a descendant of slaves either. So having a second to kind of consider what it's like for people who, you know, who have gone through that heritage. I was just surprised to have it in the movie. I kind of enjoyed that part of it too, but it is a different feel from the rest of the movie for sure.
I just felt a little more tugged. I got it. It was really beautifully done. It just felt a little tuggy.
Okay. And so the burial, what would you give it?
I'd give it a B.
A B. Okay, and I was in the 2.5 stars, so I guess that's probably in the same 2.5 out of 4. But I did enjoy it, and, you know, it's on Prime, so the 2 hours and 15 minutes may not be as big a deal when you can pause it and go do something else. So,
right.
That is where the burial is. All right, before we go to break, we also need to talk about, because I want to make sure we had enough time for this, the return of Frasier on Paramount Plus. It is a new 10-episode series. It brings Dr. Crane back to Boston. I don't want to give away too much just because, basically, you know, there was actually some things that I was told I'm not allowed to reveal from Paramount Plus. But basically it's this. So Frasier is back. He's taken a job teaching at Harvard, and he's hoping to reconnect with his son, Freddie. If you've been a longtime fan of the character, you remember Freddie was born during Cheers. He was a little baby in Cheers.
Oh.
And then he was living with Lilith, you know, B.B. Newhart's character, during most of Frasier's run. So he'd just show up for a couple episodes here and there during the 10 seasons of Frasier. But now he's front and center. He's a grown firefighter. And Frasier wants to reconnect with him. You only saw the first two episodes. I got to see the first five. I thought it was hilarious. I really did. It's like an old friend. It's like an old friend coming back. And Cheers is one of my favorite sitcoms of all time. In fact, there's one scene that I can't forgive them for the new Frasier. Is he comes in and he to a bar trivia night, and he's like, "Did you know that the New York Knickerbockers have a rival called the Boston Celtics?" And I'm like, no, 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 no. You spent years at Cheers. Kevin freaking McHale worked in the bar at Cheers.
Wow.
When you were on the show. You would not make that mistake. Now, maybe they're just assuming nobody's as big a Cheers person as me, but that was the only complaint I had about the first five episodes. I thought it was funny. It was nice getting to know new characters. Yeah. Freddie, the actor who plays his son, does a great job, and it's just funny.
Well, I like the British co-worker. I thought he was pretty funny, too.
One of his old colleagues from Oxford.
Yes, who couldn't wait to get into the McKellen 25.
He's basically he's almost like an older, drunker version of John Oliver's character from Community.
Oh, wow.
If you remember Community.
Yes.
But yeah, so I liked Frasier. I think fans of the old show, it depends on, you know, if you consider Frasier like the holy grail of TV, because it won a lot of Emmys. It's missing David Hyde Pierce. It doesn't have any of the characters from the original show. It's just Frasier plus these new characters. But I enjoyed the five episodes, and I'm looking forward to the other
five. I guess what got to me was the laugh track. I mean, the audience.
It's old school comedy.
I know. It just kind of threw me off a little bit. I'm like, oh, we're doing that again. Okay.
So that's Frasier streaming on Paramount Plus. Two episodes now, and then they're going to drop weekly ones each week.
It's the KSL Giveathon. Be a SmileMaker for the kids at Primary Children's Hospital.
Steve.
Sir.
We've already got a couple of SmileMakers that are movie show listeners.
Just
and we thank
Come
you.
Come on, dudes.
Well, we might have three.
Dudettes.
We have a couple, but I know that we've got 10 movie show SmileMakers between now and the end of the show. And what you can do, how do you become a SmileMaker, Steve? Do you know how? I mean, you already are, so maybe you forgot.
Yeah, I have no idea. They just take it out of my
out of your account each month. Well, that's what it is. You go to kslkids.com, or you can text the word SMILE to 57500, and we'll send you the link. You can do this on your phone. It takes you just a couple of minutes. $15 a month, or any amount you'd like per month.
Right.
And they'll do that, take it out for a year.
That's just a suggestion.
We suggest a $15 minimum, but it can be anything. $15 turns into $200 by the end of the calendar year.
Actually, $180, I think.
Yeah, just under $200.
Yeah.
But you could make that $20, make it just an even number. But I promise you that that amount will never, regret doing that.
You spend a lot more money foolishly than even remotely what this is. This is a good thing.
This is less than the cost of a Taylor Swift ticket.
Much less.
Yeah. So, and I meant even to the movie. So, let's hear from, though, Alexandra, okay? We met Alexandra at the, she came to the station and visited us. She was diagnosed at age 8 with a degenerative disease that affects many systems of her body. Let's hear from her.
Alexandra is, well, everyone calls her an angel for what she goes through on a daily basis. She has this lighthearted demeanor.
I go to high school next year. I'm going to be in 10th grade.
She has a mitochondrial disorder, kind of a rare disease of the power-producing parts of a cell. It affects lots of parts of her physiologies.
I am losing my eyesight a lot, and my hearing loss is getting worse.
My mom always used to say, "You're so good with her." And I said, "Well, I'm not doing anything. She's the one that wakes up and is working so hard to do whatever it is she's trying to do. So my job's the easy part, and she's delightful."
My mitochondria, I do get tired a lot.
Part of the progression of the disease is it's progressive, which means today will be her best day every day. So tomorrow it will be a little harder, but it'll be the best she can be. The hospital has been an open-armed, loving place to go. Of course, I'm her biggest cheerleader, but they are a huge team of backups that really educate her and take it moment by moment to really let her understand what's happening, why we're there again. She's excited to see her doctors. I mean, she embraces all of them.
I have too many doctors.
Her life may not be very long, we don't know, but my hope is as long as it's comfortable and she's happy, what else do you want?
Steve, Alexandra loves to go to school, and she continues to create beautiful art. Now, listen to this. Back in May, so just a few months ago, her work was part of a Salt Lake City gallery stroll. I did those once when I was in college. It's really cool. But she sold all 33 of her creations to support mitochondrial disease research and awareness.
Wow.
So she's a sold artist.
Nice.
That was Alexandra. You can help Alexandra and families like hers by donating to Primary Children's Hospital through our Giveathon by visiting kslkids.com, or you can text the word SMILE to 57500 and you can take care of it on your phone. Couple of minutes, just a few dollars a month, less than the cost of a movie ticket per month. You can make a difference in a child and their family's lives at Primary Children. We'd like to also thank J&J Garden Center, by the way. They're our Smile Market sponsor, Smile Maker sponsor.
Have you ever been to their place? That place is amazing. It just goes forever.
I think I went to a wedding reception at one once.
Really?
Yeah. So that's cool.
The one up in Layton, Clearfield, wherever that is? Somewhere.
Possibly. I think Utah County is what I was thinking of. Maybe that's not J&J, but J&J Garden Center is the sponsor of our Smile Makers. And again, we just invite you to do that. KSLKids.com or text SMILE to 57500. All right, Steve, we asked the question on our text line here on the movie show. What is your favorite or the best movie starring your favorite music artist? And Stone, our on-site producer, he wondered why nobody had said The Labyrinth with David Bowie. Well, somebody finally did say Labyrinth with David Bowie. We also got a text. This isn't related to the text question, but they said the second Hocus Pocus sucked. That's the one that went to Disney Plus.
Actually, I got a kick out of that one because didn't they go to like a CVS and they got a Swifter or something? And,
or Walgreens or something, yeah.
Yeah, rode off on a...
Yeah, instead of the brooms, they rode off on the modern-day brooms.
Even though in the original, didn't she ride a vacuum cleaner?
I don't know. I've only seen it once.
The lady with the crooked smile?
Kathy
Najimy.
Kathy Najimy, yeah. All right, well, here's...
That movie.
I think we're giving too much time to Hocus Pocus. Just because it made the movie show top 10 doesn't make it good or likable. Uh-oh,
well,
I'm gonna
now
get
who's digging
that.
A hole?
All righty. Here's, let's see, my favorite artist in a movie. This texture says Ozzy Osbourne and Little Nicky.
Wow.
Adam Sandler's. Oh, Dean Martin and Ricky Nelson in Rio Bravo, according to this texture.
Yeah.
That's going back a bit.
Raquel Welch.
All right, here's somebody that says Olivia Newton-John. Can you guess which movie they said?
Yeah, Grease.
You're wrong.
Xanadu?
Twist of Fate.
What?
Hey, that's what they said. All right, let's see. Madonna and Evita, I think we said that one already. Yeah. I liked The Faculty, starring Usher, the singer.
Whoa.
That goes back to the early 2000s. Boy, oh, here's one that I'm surprised I didn't see more than once. Prince, Purple Rain.
Oh, yeah. Great film.
All right, and let's see. A couple more before we...
No White Christmas, Bing Crosby. You got Bing
this
Crosby,
is it, Michael
Danny
Jackson.
Kaye, and you got Rosemary Clooney. Come on.
John Denver, what movie do you think?
Oh, God, Where Art Thou?
That's the one. Oh, God, good guess. I was going to think the Muppet movies, but I guess not. Oh, here's another Labyrinth. So we've had two votes for Labyrinth, along with yours. That's three.
Dance, magic, dance.
Does the Million Dollar Quartet play/musical count? No. I'm just going to say, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to say it doesn't
count.
It's
British. It's pretty good.
Oh, how about this? My favorite movie with the favorite music artist, Highlander with Queen.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Nice.
All right. Hugh Jackman, Greatest Showman in Les Mis. I will give you that Hugh Jackman is a musical artist.
Yeah, he's a Broadway singer.
All right, if you have some suggestions that we haven't mentioned, 57500, text us and let us know. We'll take a break here at bottom of the hour for news, traffic, and weather. But when we come back, we have got telephone torture, and the theme is a Tommy Lee Jones movie. But don't call now. Wait till after news, traffic, and weather here on KSL News Radio.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone torture.
All right, it's time for Telephone Torture. The theme for this week's contest is a Tommy Lee Jones movie, Telephone Torture, sponsored by Megaplex Theater. Steve, you got to spend an evening there last night celebrating the Taylor Swift movie.
They are so ready for Taylor. They were ready last night, even though they had short notice. Tonight is going to be bedlam, and the party that's going to go on in the lobby, at least at Jordan Commons, but all the places that have the IMAX theaters is where you're going to see Taylor, and they're pretty much sold out.
Did they give us any extra prize options today, or we just have the traditional movie show? Do you think we can give away a Taylor Swift celebration pack? They'd have to go tonight. That's probably too short a notice. Well,
there's no room in the inn, I'm afraid.
There's not. So we just have the standard awesome Megaplex prize pack,
yes,
which is...
I'm sure Jeff is calling right now. Should I just wait by the phone?
But you'll get two tickets to any movie at the Megaplex, two large sodas with their super awesome Coke Freestyle machines, and
one
giant tub of popcorn that you can refill once. So it's like getting two. That's how I choose to look at it. All right, so 575-TALK, 575-8255. We will take four callers. If you think you know the answer, then you can win the Megaplex prize pack. Or if you don't get through on the phone, you can try to text the correct answer when you think you know it. If the four callers on the phone do not get it, we will take the first correct answer on the text line at 57500. Hint, Tommy Lee Jones movie. Who's our first caller? Steven, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
It's a Tommy Lee Jones movie, and it is one of the few times Tommy Lee Jones plays a villain.
What?
Any more of a clue?
Nope, that's the first clue. We don't want to give it all away on the first clue, but he plays a villain. Now, you can rule out all of his ones where he's a hero. So which of his villain movies do you think it is?
In the Valley of Elah.
In the Valley of Elah, is that correct? Oh, Steve, good guess. Good guess, because I don't even know that movie.
I thought that's the one with Denzel Washington where he was traveling. It's like
it could be.
Post-apocalyptic.
For what I know, it could be. All right, who's our next caller? John. John, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, Tommy Lee Jones movie. So he plays a villain, but however, he's not nearly as crazy in this movie as his co-star Gary Busey's character.
Oh, it's a dead giveaway.
Let's see, out of 60 movies, how about Blowin'?
Which one?
Blowin'. I think it's
Blown Away?
Blowin'. It says Blowin'. Blown Away, yeah.
Blown Away.
Blown Away, is that correct?
That's a great guess, though.
That is a great guess, and I will say Steve argued for that one to be this week's movie show, but we did not choose
that. I thought
it was
too obscure.
Ah, and yet they guessed it on the second try. All right, who's our third caller? Matt, are you ready?
I'm ready to try.
Okay, Matt, here's clue number three. Unfortunately, Tommy Lee Jones' villain was ultimately undone by a Navy ship's cook.
Under siege.
Is that correct, Gustavo?
By the power of Grayskull, I am
the power! Is that a yes or a no?
That is yes. It means he has the power. Well, congratulations. How did you know?
Well, the last little clue about the battleship, because I thought it might be Under Siege before that, but that clue just made
the
me
Navy
think, oh,
cook.
That's got
to
be it.
Well, that was a good guess. So, and that is correct. Under Siege, 1992, the last movie that people can agree was good that had Steven Seagal in it. In fact, our last clue was his co-star, Steven Seagal, is considered one of the worst hosts of SNL of all time, and he is not allowed back on the program.
And maybe the craziest interview that the movie show has ever done.
He is also a movie show interview in the Hall of Fame.
Man. He was...
Something was up with Steven Seagal is what Steve...
He was higher than the altitude of Park City that day.
Well, congratulations. You have won the Megaplex prize pack of two tickets to a movie, two large drinks, and a large popcorn, which you can have two of because you can refill it once. What are you going to go see?
I don't know yet. I've already got tickets to go see Taylor Swift next Saturday, but I'm sure I'll use them for something good.
Well, then the world is your oyster. Congratulations. Stay on the line. Our producer, Gustavo, will help you out there.
Dude, you got to go to The Creator, man. The Creator is a good movie.
Steve wants you to see The Creator. So if you do, make sure you text us back and tell us what you thought of it and if it was worth your
free
ticket.
Or The Exorcist Believer.
Stay on the line. And, of course, we have a little bit of time. So how do we end telephone torture? That's your cue.
Oh. Well, what we used to do with Doug is we had Frank Sinatra come on.
Well, that's what we'll... There you go. Good job.
Minus the Doug. By the way, people quit asking me, where's Doug? Where'd he go? He retired. He wanted to leave. We didn't ask him to leave.
That is true.
Please. Like, not like we, you know, exiled him to Elba.
Or Erda. I love little towns like that. All right, so that is Telephone Torture, sponsored by Megaplex Theaters.
It's the world-famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
All right, Steve, it is time for Rapid Fire as we wrap up this movie show. Let's start where we go over everything that we talked about on the movie show today. But we invite you to hear the whole movie show. If you missed some of it live, you can always go and download the movie show podcast, which is available anywhere you get your podcasts, but also at kslnewsradio.com, kslpodcasts.com. I particularly use Spotify quite a bit, like on my walks, to listen to the movie show. And you can get it on Apple Podcasts. We actually had a texter earlier say, hey, it looked like the movie show hadn't been updated in a bit. We've fixed that. So by the end of today, you should be able to see all of our movie show podcasts. There, we changed something on the back end, but it'll be fixed soon. So anywhere you get, you can listen to the movie show. So Steve, Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour. We had Caitlin, our guest host from last night, review it for us.
Thumbs down from Caitlin.
She didn't like any... No, just kidding. She loved it. She says it's worth the money and it's a great experience. And interestingly enough, you hear Taylor over everything else. So even if people are singing in the theater, that's not who you're hearing. You're hearing Taylor.
Hopefully, if you're in the right theater. Right. I mean, 15,000 watts at the Jordan Commons IMAX will probably take care of that.
That'll probably take care of that. So pick a good theater if you're going to see it. Yeah. All right. Joan Baez, I Am a Noise.
This is playing at the Broadway. It is a wonderful film, and she is just reveals everything about her life in a, you know, just a very confidential way, and I really respect her for it. And also, she's a great singer.
The Burial on Prime, The Burial.
You know, interestingly, I love titles that have several different meanings, and this is about the burial business, and one guy, a small town, trying to survive. The big billionaire from Canada is going to buy him out and screw him over, and they go to court.
And they bring in Jamie Foxx as their star attorney to argue it. It's funny, but it also has like a worthwhile, serious side to it.
And it's based on a true story. You'll actually meet Willie, the real Willie Gray.
Willie Gray, I believe.
At the end of the film.
All right. The Mill on Hulu. Well, by the way, The Burial is on Prime Video.
That's right. Lil Rel Howery. I keep getting his name. I can't say
I know. You keep wanting to say Lil Ray.
Yeah,
but
I know.
It's Lil Rel.
Lil Rel Howery. He's a comedian, but it's a very serious movie about a corporation that's trying to teach their employees that they are on the wrong track.
All right, we got Lessons in Chemistry streaming on Apple TV Plus, a new series starring Brie Larson about a chemist who goes on in the 1950s and 60s to become a show host where she teaches women science through her cooking show. But there's a whole lot more to it than that.
Absolutely, so much more. And this is levels of Brie Larson that you've never seen in anything else.
We've got The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix, based on the Edgar Allan Poe story, but it's set in modern times. It's rated TVMA. I found it very interesting. It drew me in, but there's some scary parts, some really well done. But again, it's based on Edgar Allan Poe, so what do you expect?
It is very creepy, and I've only seen a little bit of it, so I can't really say.
Eight Netflix. Yeah. And we got Messy Meets America, an ongoing streaming series on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, the first three parts, and they're all there, right? I don't know.
Three parts are there right now.
They are. Okay, so you'll see all three. Him coming to America, playing soccer here, it's really, really good.
And then Frasier on Paramount Plus, the sequel to the series. It's same name, but it's 20 years later. Frasier is now a Harvard professor. I thought it was very funny. I liked the first five episodes. I bet there will be some who don't or who maybe think that the series from the 90s is the better one. That's fine, but I really enjoyed it, and it was revisiting an old friend.
And the classic series this week, you don't have to do the $10. That's over. It's a dollar to go see North by Northwest with Cary Grant. Come on.
There's a series on Paramount Plus called Painkillers, the Tylenol Murders. It's a documentary about that whole scare with the Tylenol pills and cyanide in Illinois back in the early 80s. I thought that was really interesting. And then Goosebumps coming to Hulu and Disney Plus. I think it's going to be an anthology series where the Goosebump, it's one of the stories based on R.L. Stine, but that kicks off tonight on Disney Plus. And that is Rapid Fire. Next week, Steve, there's only really one big movie, if I remember correctly, and that is Killers of the Flower Moon with Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, that'll be a big one.
That'll be a big heavy one. That's on the movie show next week.